the biggest tabletop gaming convention held in the USA, heralded as the best 4 days of gaming. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gen Con. Episode 3, The Worship Service. Just like with episode 2, my goal is to get everything set up and get out of the way to let you guys hear all the awesome. However, because of the fact that there are songs that involve copyright and licensing, I'm not going to be able to put any of that music on, in spite of the fact that the musicians that we had were really talented, and I really wish I could put it all up here, but really also don't want to get anybody in trouble with anybody for copyright and various things. I am able to get a lot of the prayers, and of course, obviously, Derek bringing the message, and those of you who weren't there, I'm just going to tell you, everything went so well. It was so beautiful, and I really hope you guys can be there next year. That being said, I'm just going to cut to the worship service already in progress.
A few weeks ago, I was at the Ichthus Festival, a Christian music festival, outdoors several days, kind of the Christian equivalent to Woodstock. It was founded 40-some-odd years ago, the year after Woodstock. I was there volunteering with the Grave Robbers Ministry, an outreach to Christian punks and goths. Great, man, fuck it. Giving out glow bracelets and glittery face paint, and somehow they found some pixie sticks, the sugar things that were black with black sugar in them. Whatever works, you know? So people who are different, who don't have the churchy hair and the churchy look about them, still feel at home, and that's what we're all about. Great way to do that is to share a meal. When Jesus was about to die, he brought his people together. I want you to have dinner with me. It's a time to remember. As he gave his body for us, he asked us to remember the bread that he broke with them. As he shed his blood so that we may be free, he asked them to remember the drink. Eric's going to let us know about the communion here. We have some in front and some in back. So in front, start coming up row one, row two, and back, the back row first, etc., until we're all set.
Okay, it's a very simple system. You have this lip, you just pull it off, and that will get you the wafer. And then after that, you pull the bottom part off, and that will get you the juice. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us, and Jesus for taking the penalty for us. Help us as we take this to remember you, to understand the incredible meaning of what you've done for us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
All right, we're going to bow in a word of prayer, and they're going to pass around a donation basket. Feel free to donate. We take all these proceeds, and basically that pays for our booth, for us to come here, for us to have the service for you guys, sometimes some awesome swag. So it's not necessary, but we definitely appreciate it. And if you'd like to donate, feel free. If you bow with me for a word of prayer before the sermon. Father God, just thank you so much for us to have this opportunity to come here together, to be with fellow gamers, and to worship you all at the same time, God. And I know we sometimes aren't quite understood in our own churches. Some of us have the luxury, some of us don't. But God, when we're here, we can just be ourselves, be together, and worship you. And that is just such a great blessing, God. You have bestowed so much on us this weekend, to be around our friends, to complete some missions, slay some enemies, and ultimately serve you, God, in so many various ways. I pray that you'll just bless the sermon today, God, as we learn how to use the ultimate player's guide, your word, and learn how to defeat our dragons in our lives. Just be with Derek as he's bringing this message to us, God. I just pray that we can take it in, take it, you know, use it today, use it for the rest of the year, God, and just share our lives with the people around us through that. I pray that we can be lights for the various people at our tables, and that ultimately we can just be a light for you, God. Pray this in your son's name.
past the passage, just past the row behind you, and that looks like when you get to the back. I waited for Derek to sit down before I spoke to him up. Prepare to receive God's word.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you awake yet?
Woo!
All right. Are you awake yet?
Yes.
Wow, man, I got a mic and a stage. Two more ways to hurt myself. I think I'm the only person I know who can hurt themselves when they're sleeping. I've done that before. Welcome to Gen Con. My name is Derek White. I'm a United Methodist minister. I pastor two churches in Tennessee in a small town. I'm also an adjunct college professor as of this spring. So I actually get to teach some college courses. It's kind of weird for me, but it's also weird for my students. So it works out good. Some of you may know me as the geek preacher. I've been helping out with the worship services every year except one since 2007, and it's wonderful, wonderful to be here. Today I want to talk to you about dragons, because I put it on my Facebook page. I said, what would you like the title of the message to be? Here There Be Dragons or The Power of Fairy Tales? Overwhelmingly, it was dragons. My brother-in-law, who thinks he has a great sense of humor, said, why don't you talk about fairy dragons? I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But here's the interesting thing. For me, growing up playing D&D, you never wanted to fight a dragon. Dragons generally destroyed you. If you were an old-school gamer, there was no defeating the dragon most of the time. And I played in many games where that occurred. I saw that happen. In fact, I was an evil game master, dungeon master myself, when a young man came up to me and he said, you know what? I had a 26-level wizard who killed Tiamat. Now, those of you who don't know, Tiamat is one of the great dragons in the Monster Manual from first edition. And I'm over here thinking, what? You killed a demigod in a role-playing game? Really? Well, let's do this. And I set up an adventure where I basically wiped out a party of almost 30th level first edition characters. I made sure every single one of them died. I loved it. I loved every moment of it. But that's the way it was. You know, now you can, level up within a couple of weeks and kill dragons right away. But there's some great quotes about dragons. One of them is my favorite. It's by a man by the name of Neil Gaiman. Any Neil Gaiman fans in here? All right. This is what he said. Fairy tales are more than true. Not because they tell us that dragons exist, but because they tell us dragons can be defeated. Now, what's interesting is Gaiman says he got that quote from a man by the name of G.K. Chesterton. Chesterton didn't actually say it that way, but Chesterton said it in a number of other ways. G.K. Chesterton was a Christian at the turn of the 20th century, and this is what he said. What fairy tales give the child is his first clear idea of the possible defeat of the bogey. The baby has known the dragon intimately ever since he had an imagination. What the fairy tale provides for him is a Saint George to kill the dragon. Exactly what the fairy tale does is this. It accustoms him for a series of clear pictures to the idea that these limitless terrors had a limit. That these shapeless enemies have enemies in the knights of God. That there is something in the universe more mystical than darkness. And stronger than strong fear. There is something stronger than strong fear. Dragons can and should be defeated. So with that in mind, I want to read to you from the book of Ephesians. You have the passage on your bulletins, your handouts. Now, like any good gamer, I mix and match things. So the version of the Bible you have there in front of you is the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. I took two or three different versions and looked up a little Greek because I'm a geek, right? Right? You know, Christians and geeks got a lot in common, man. We love those little nitpicky details. So I went and I looked up a few things. So this is kind of about three different Bible versions with some of my own translation in here. So bear with me. Finally, brothers and sisters, draw your strength and might from God. Put on the full armor of God. Y'all knew that was coming, right?
Yeah.
All right, good, good. To protect yourselves from the devil and his evil schemes. We are not waging war against flesh and blood alone. No, this fight is against tyrants. It is against the power of influence and prestige. Against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And this is why you need to be in the armor of God, so you can resist during these evil days and be fully prepared to hold your ground. Yes, stand, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. I lost my helmet of salvation. I'm sorry about that. I'm a Methodist. We believe that you can lose your helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the shield of faith. All of these wonderful things. You know, it's interesting. We read this. I'm going to have to put the shield down now. It's interesting when you read this, Paul using all this military, militant, violent language for a man who follows the Prince of Peace. And he says, put on a sword, put on a shield, put on a breastplate, be ready for battle. Here he is writing and saying, look, here's all this militant language of battle and warfare. But what I like what happens by the writer of Ephesians does is he flips it. He flips it. Because suddenly the script is turned upside down. All this violent imagery is used to call us to peace. All this violent imagery is suddenly, quickly turned upside down. Now it also says pray always, pray in the Spirit. Pray about everything in every way you know how. And keeping all of this in mind, pray on behalf of all God's people. Keep on praying. And please pray for me. Pray the truth will be with me before I even open my mouth. Ask the Spirit to guide me while I boldly defend the mystery of the good news for which I am an ambassador in chains. So here he is, sitting in jail, probably looking at people in armor, standing right out there in front of him. Violence will occur if he tries to escape. And yet he uses this violent imagery to talk about the gospel of peace. You see, we misunderstand what these spiritual forces are. These spiritual forces, these powers, are the structures and institutions that embody a system of domination, about dominating others. A man by the name of Walter Wink said that. We struggle and stumble for power. This struggle molds people into those who maximize their power. You see, at the end of the day, we're all power gamers. We're all power gamers. We want power. I love to defeat people at the table. Come on now, who knows the Conan quote? What is the best in life? Come on, tell me. I love you guys. I love you guys. But that's the way we feel when we get in the game. I want to crush you. I want to crush you. So I was talking to a gentleman. I used an Uber driver to come over one day because I slept late. And so we began to talk, and he began to talk about games. And he said, yeah, you know, what's interesting are the cooperative games that are out there now. It's not you fighting against other people. It's you against the board. It's you against the game. It's you against the system. And that's what the writer of Ephesians is talking about. It's us against the system. And the system is a dragon. It's this big, huge dragon bearing down on us. But you see, the system does something. It begins to break us down. And then there are people who move up in the system and they get those positions of power. And it's always interesting that the people who move up into positions of power are usually the most ruthless and cutthroat. That's how you get XP in the real world. You become ruthless, you become cutthroat, and you move up the ladder in this cycle of never-ending violence, this cycle of oppressing others. And you move up there. And we get mad at the people that do that. We get upset by those who hold us down because they're victims of the system. Because we're victims of the system. But the interesting thing is, those people in power are also a victim of the system. The system created them, put them there. It was a dragon. One of my favorite old school movies is Dragon Slayer. All right. I watched part of it last night, you know, as I was preparing for this. And I love Dragon Slayer. Now, those of you not familiar with it, it's a simple dragon story. Dragon is terrorizing this kingdom, and twice a year the kingdom has to take a virgin female and sacrifice it to the dragon. Now in the movie, spoiler alert, one of the first people that shows up to get the wizard to help defeat the dragon is a young lady disguised as a boy. That's how her father kept her safe. But there's another female in the story. What does every good dragon story have? What type of females in every good dragon story?
Damsel in distress.
Damsel in distress, or the princess. And so the princess is very naive. She doesn't realize that her father, the king, has kept her name out of the lottery every year. And so one of the big scenes in the movie, the princess puts her name on every chit in the lottery. Now, we say, wow, that's really cool. But here's the thing. Both the princess and the girl disguised as a boy are both victims of the system. But the princess in Dragon Slayer shows us that even the system, even the dragons in the system can still be redeemed. The dragons of the system, because they are just as much of a product of the dragon as we are. And that's the thing about our enemies. Some guy a couple of thousand years ago said, love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And that's the interesting thing. When we begin to know our enemies, not to defeat them, but to know them, we begin to see ourselves. Ourselves begin to be reflected back at us. So, I could focus on all the parts of the armor and go into a lot of that, but what I want to do is talk to you about the parts of the armor, but in a different way. You see, one of the parts of the armor is the belt of truth. When we see our enemy's lies, it opens our eyes to our own lies, to our own pain. So when we begin to see our enemy in truth, we see a reflection of ourself. Our enemy gives us access to those unacceptable parts of ourself. The breastplate of righteousness. When we see our enemy's sin, it should not make us condemn our enemy. It should make us see the own brokenness in our own lives. And peace. We are dependent on our enemies, so we might see the murder in our own hearts. We can rage at the injustices of our enemies while still seeing them as a child of God. Just because your enemy does something wrong does not make them any less a child of God than you are or I am. You see, hatred, anger, and despair, they deplete our resources. They deplete our energy. The energy squandered away nursing hatred becomes available to God for confronting and transforming our relationships. You see, when we get rid of the hatred and the anger, that frees up God to give us the energy to transform the relationships we have in the world around us. And that's how the gospel of peace begins to work. I discovered this in my own life in a really fun, geeky way, all right? So, here I am at a game shop. This is about a decade or more ago, actually probably about 12 years ago, something like that. I was new to the area, and I just started playing some Dungeons & Dragons with some other guys. Now, those of you who have played a game with me know that I can be very bloodthirsty. You also may know I can be very sarcastic, and I will pick on you. And so I'm sitting at a table with a bunch of guys I barely know. And one of the guys, whose name I will not say, but one of the guys did what any character, any male running a character with a high level of charisma will do. He said, "I want to hit on the girl working in the tavern." Wow, surprise, shock, right? And so I'm sitting there and I did what any 30-something-year-old gamer guy that grew up in the 80s probably would have done. I said, "Yeah, that's the only way you're going to get a date." Oh, that was cold, wasn't it? That was cold. Here's what's even colder. I didn't know he just broke up with his girlfriend. Didn't know that. Didn't find that out until a few days later. I went outside. We were all talking outside later that evening. That guy was mad at me. Really mad. He got up in my face. It was the last time I've ever been in a fight. Wasn't much of a fight. I'm a geek. He's a geek. Geek's fighting. It's sad. It's sad. Or at least this geek fighting is very sad. You know, it was more of a shoving match. You know, and then it stopped when glasses flew off because nobody can see, right? Y'all laughing because you know it's true, right? You're laughing because you've been there. Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy. So, here we are. That happens. Well, like I said, a few days later, I found out why he was really mad. I had no idea. I did not know the guy that well at that time. I was really upset. I had really upset him. I'd really hurt him. And I felt bad. And then there's this thing called the Holy Spirit began knocking on my heart and said, "You know what? You need to go apologize to that guy." And I'm like, "I didn't start the fight. Wasn't me. He got up in my face." "Yeah, you did. You started the fight even though you didn't know it." So I go back up to the game shop. All the guys are there and they're like, "Oh, it's about to go down now. Oh." And I said, "Hey man, come on outside. Let's talk." I talked with him. Now, I wish I could tell you he and I are the greatest best friends. Now, we're not. I don't see him very often. But he's a really nice guy. I like him. And we began to talk, and I said, "Man, I apologize. I had no idea. I had no idea you'd just broken up with your girlfriend. I am so sorry that I hurt you. Hardest thing I've done in my life. One of the hardest things I've done. Not the hardest, but one of the hardest." And I apologized to him. And I felt my soul freed up. I shook his hand. Smiled. And since then, me and him have played together. We've gamed together. You see, it freed me up for all the anger and the hatred and the energy I poured into that moment and that frustration. I was freed up. I didn't understand it at that time. It took me years before I understood what actually happened. But that's what happens when we live according to the gospel of peace. This is why all this violent imagery is Paul's way of being ironic. put on the breastplate of righteousness to shield our hearts. But don't just put on the breastplate of righteousness to shield your heart. Put it on to heal your heart. Truth, peace, hope. All these are the things that God has called us to. This is what the armor of God is about. And this is how we slay the dragons. We slay the dragons by realizing the dragons are there. The dragons have corrupted the people in power and the people at the top, but the dragons have also influenced us. And we slay the dragons by becoming people of peace, people of justice, and most of all, people of Jesus. You know, one of the interesting things, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But there's something else that I forgot to mention. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Greek word there is rhema. Rhema simply means story. That's how we defeat our enemies. That's how we defeat the dragon. It's by the story of God. And so I want to read to you another passage from Ephesians that tells us simply what the story of God is. The story of God is in Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, my friends, we live in love and we tell the story of love, and that's how we defeat the dragons. So today I want to ask you to defeat the dragons by going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. Going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. Ain't going to study war no more. Do you know it? Sing it. Come on, Shelly. Come on up here. Help me out here. I can't sing.
That's all I remember.
Come on. I got the lyrics in my pocket. Come on. Now, this is called call and response. It's a way of singing and a tradition you may not be familiar with. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside.
Down by the riverside.
Down by the riverside.
Down by the riverside.
Gonna lay down my sword and shield.
Down by the riverside. Gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside.
Ain't gonna study war no more.
Ain't gonna study war no more. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Ain't gonna study war no more. Down by the riverside.
Gonna put on my long white robe.
Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Gonna put on my long white robe. Down by the riverside. Stay close to the side of the Lord. We're gonna add a tag there.
Okay.
Stay close to the side of the Lord. I'm gonna put on my starry crown down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. I'm gonna put on my starry crown down by the riverside. And stay close by the side of the Lord.
Amen. So today I would just ask you to not study war no more. To walk according to the Prince of Peace and the God of love. To let peace and the armor of God help you slay dragons through the love of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever with Almighty God and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Okay.